And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 this morning. Gospel of John, chapter number 20. And here in the 20th chapter of John, we find recorded for us a very powerful story, of course, of Mary Magdalene, and she is coming to the tomb after the resurrection of Jesus. And the passage that we're going to read this morning captures for us a very deeply emotional moment where Mary Magdalene becomes the first witness of the resurrected Jesus. And at first, as we're going to see, she doesn't even recognize him. In fact, the Bible is going to tell us she mistook him to be the gardener. But it's then when Jesus calls her by name that she immediately recognizes him and calls him Rabboni, or Rabbi. Jesus, of course, would then commission her to go and tell the disciples, of course, a pivotal moment highlighting the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus, a personal encounter with Jesus. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to plant something, but you ever go to Walmart and you see they have their big wall of seeds, and when you look at those and you take them out of the package, you find out very quickly that those seeds are small. And they're really, when you look at them on their own, they're a very unimpressive type of thing. And you could easily, you know, you put it in your pocket, and if you have the little package open, you could easily lose those seeds in your pocket. You could put it in a, you know, we all have those junk drawers at home. You could put it in a junk drawer, and, you know, there's no coming back when something goes in the junk drawer. It's just gone, never to be seen again. But you put it in the drawer, and because it's so small, you can easily lose it. You can easily forget it. But when you look at a seed, you also see that inside is a secret. Because inside that little shell, while it doesn't look like much, that little seed holds within itself potential. And potential not just for growth, but for beauty, for fruitfulness, and for transformation. But now here's the catch about this seed. The seed does nothing on its own. I don't know about you, but I've never known of a seed to open itself from its package, plant itself in the ground, water itself, and then life bursts forth from it. I mean, unless you're talking to Jack and his magic beanstalk beans, I don't know of any magic seeds. And on its own, it does nothing. That seed needs soil. That seed needs water. It needs sunlight. And most of all, that seed needs a gardener. And so do we. You're there this morning, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and notice if you would, beginning at verse number 11 down through verse number 18. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stood down or she stooped down, excuse me, and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus hath lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but to go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. I want you to notice there that phrase in verse number 15, where Jesus asks her this question, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. For a few moments, it's more like to just preach just on this simple thought, the good gardener. The good gardener. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to open your word and to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. Lord, now this morning, I pray you'd quiet our hearts and help us to focus on you. We pray, Lord, you speak to hearts and encourage hearts this morning. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this church without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, this morning, I pray that you would be with those that they just need to hear from you. We pray, Lord, they'd find encouragement in you this morning as well. Bless our time as our prayer this morning. Meet with us in a special and real way, as only you can, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we see here Mary, she mistakes Jesus for the gardener. There's several things I want us to see this morning, the first being this. And there's several gardens we're going to look at. The first being the Garden of Rebellion. The Garden of Rebellion. And to do that, we need to go all the way back. All the way back to the very beginning. We know God, he planted a garden. And that garden was called Eden. It was lush. It was fruitful. It was peaceful. In fact, the Hebrew word used to describe its atmosphere was the word shalom, which means wholeness, which means peace, which means harmony. But somewhere along the line between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 3, something went horribly wrong. It was in that perfect garden that sin entered the world through Adam's disobedience. And it was from that moment the world was broken. And because the world was broken, death came. Relationships became fractured, shame was born, and humanity, ever since the Garden of Eden, we have been hiding in the bushes ever since the Garden of Eden. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible tells us this, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so this is the first garden that we see this morning. It's a garden of brokenness. A garden that needs redemption. A garden that needs renewal. A garden that needs its soil healed. And that's the second thought we see this morning, and that is the garden of redemption. And so we fast forward a few thousand years to here in John chapter 20. And we fast forward to another garden. Now this time we find that it's early morning. The dew is still on the ground. Perhaps birds were singing in the trees. But here we see in verse number 11, we find Mary Magdalene, and she's weeping. She's crying. And she's crying because the tomb is empty. Now for us as Christians, we know that's something to rejoice in. That's something to be happy about, that the tomb is empty, that he's still not there. That he arose as he said he would, and he lives today forevermore. We know that for us, that's something to be joyous over. But here, for Mary, the tomb was empty. Jesus, her teacher, her friend, he's gone. In fact, notice what she says to him in verse number 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So here Mary, she comes face to face with Jesus, and she doesn't even recognize him. That teaches us a very powerful truth this morning. That is that sometimes in our grief, we fail to recognize that Jesus is still there with us each step of the way. Because sometimes we get so focused on our problems that we miss Jesus right there in front of us. And here she thinks that they've taken the body of Jesus, they've taken it and they've done away with it. And she says, listen, just tell me where you've taken him and I'll take him away. I'll take care of him. And the Bible says she's supposing him to be the gardener. How ironic that is, isn't it? She thinks that he's the gardener. Now, if you've ever seen art paintings throughout history, you find very quickly that many paintings portray Jesus in this scene in particular with a shovel in his hand, wearing a broad-rimmed hat, and they have him pictured just like a farmer. And while Mary may have mistaken his identity, her mistake was actually more accurate than she knew, because Jesus actually is the gardener. But he's not the gardener she thought he was. He is the good gardener this morning. And so we see the garden of redemption. And then thirdly this morning, we see the garden of restoration. The garden of restoration. You see, what was broken in the Garden of Eden is now being restored by the garden of restoration, by the garden of resurrection. Romans 5:17, the Bible tells us this, for if by one man's offense death reigned by all, much more they which receive abundance of grace shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, he is the second Adam. But unlike the first Adam, he passed the test. The Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't eat the fruit of disobedience. He became the seed of salvation.
And what do seeds do?
They die. They're buried. But then in time, they rise again. They give forth new life. Jesus told us this in John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So you see this morning, Jesus the gardener, what he did was he planted himself in the soil of death. And he rose again to bring forth eternal life. And he did that through resurrection. He did that through restoration. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see the garden of renewal. We see the garden of renewal. We see Mary. She is standing here in the garden that morning unaware that she's about to witness the most powerful moment in human history. And Jesus speaks her name in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And suddenly, everything changes. You see, this morning, Jesus doesn't just show up alive. Instead, he launches a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, this morning I want you to realize that Jesus, he's not just the Savior. He is the gardener of our souls. He takes and he pulls the weeds of sin and he plants the seeds of hope. He waters us with grace, shining the light of truth in our life. We sang the song this morning, The Lily of the Valley. The Easter lily has been a symbol that we see year after year. And if you know anything about the lily, it lies dormant as a bulb. It looks dead. It looks dry. It looks lifeless. But then in spring, it pushes through the dirt and it blooms in glory. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was placed in the ground like a lifeless seed. He died on a cross, suffering and bleeding and dying for you and for me. The world thought they had won. Satan had thought he had won. And then he was put into the tomb. But then 3 days later, he arose again in beauty and power and in purpose. And today he's not just alive, but he's gardening again. And he wants you, listen, he wants you to push through the dirt that is in our hearts. He wants us to push through the dirt that is in our lives so that we too might bloom for our good and for his glory. The question you have to ask yourself this is this, and it's just a simple question. Will you let him tend to your soul? Listen, whatever it is your soul needs this morning, he's capable. He can tend to it this morning. Some point this week, I encourage you, go out to Walmart. Buy yourself a pack of seeds. You say, I'm not a gardener. I don't plant things. That's okay. You don't have to plant them. But buy yourself a pack of seeds. And I want you to look at that package and realize that in that package, it doesn't look like much. But in the hands of the right gardener, it can become a tree, a flower, a vine, heavy with fruit. years ago, back in the 90s, there was a TV show called Boy Meets World. And there was a character on Boy Meets World, Mr. Feeney. And it was towards the end of the series, and the kids had grown up, and they were all getting ready to go away and start their life. And the girl in the show, Topanga, had gotten into Harvard. And she declined Harvard to go with her boyfriend to New York to get married, to, you know, live happily ever after and everything else. And the boyfriend went and he talks to the teacher. And he says that Topanga, his girlfriend, gave up her dreams of going to Harvard. And Mr. Feeney, he was a gardener. And he always had an illustration, always had a metaphor. And he pointed to this flower. And he said that originally it had been a houseplant. But he knew that if it just left it in the house, it couldn't have grown and became and realized its full potential. So he took it from the pot in the house and transported it to the garden in his yard. And he said, but when he went to do that, he said it resisted a little bit. It was holding on by the roots. Sometimes we're like that flower. God is trying to take us and plant us so that we can leave behind the sin and the dirt and everything else of this world. And because it's all we've known, sometimes we try and hang on to it. We try and dig ourselves in. And God is trying to say and tell us and show us that if you remain there, you're never going to reach your full potential of what I have for you. And so we need to say, okay, God, you want to tend to my soul. You want to tend to the garden of my soul. I'm going to let you tend to the garden of my soul. What could your life become this morning? In the hands of the good gardener. Will you let the gardener in this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.